In this four-part documentary, you're going to hear from the people directly involved in the creation, development, and success of BBC Radio 1 Extra. My name is Trevor Nelson, and you are listening to the story of Network X. G-Money is a London-born DJ and presenter. He attended high school in Jamaica and was exposed to different music genres, especially reggae. In the mid-90s, he set up the South London pirate radio station, Baseline FM, because no one would give him a job in radio. G-Money takes us back to the 90s and remembers pirate radio's importance in helping break new acts and developing new talent behind the scenes.
The thing about it, there were so many different radio stations. Every single area had it done. So, for example, in East London, you had Station FM. In Northwest, you had Unique Radio. You had Irie FM. In South, you had Power Jam, Elite, Vibes, and Baseline FM as well. We were competitive, and we wanted our station to be the best. And it's funny how, even in those days, when one pirate DJ went to another station, it was actually like a super big deal. So my memories of radio from that era is that it was very competitive, but it was done with so much passion. We were young, we just wanted to win. We just wanted to get ourselves behind the microphone. We just wanted to play our music.
Part of the vision for Network X was to do things other stations hadn't done before and be as creative and varied as the music they would play. Wahlberg and his wider team adopted a grassroots approach to finding out what their target audience wanted from the station. So they created focus groups and street teams and spoke to the public directly.
Something else about setting up the network was about trying to do things that hadn't been done before. It was hard. It was very hard work. We got there, and it's testament to the BBC, in fact, that we actually did get there in the end, because they could have just said no. We had workshops and all this sort of things. We thought, you can't just go out, create a radio station and ask people to join. I mean, who does that? So we had to tell people what we're about, a bit like a politician does. Go knocking door to door, tell them your policies, say vote for us. So we decided to go to different places with a small team, say this is what we're about. This is what we want to do. Do you want to join us? And I don't think anyone had really seen anything like that before. And from that, we got a real diverse crowd, because obviously the way we were telling people about this, you know, it wasn't just in The Guardian like the BBC were doing at the time. This would be in the publications which were around at the time. This would be online. This would be almost like flying outside clubs. So people who primarily, many probably didn't even listen to the BBC, would know this station was coming. And then people who wanted to perhaps join the BBC but thought they never could, thought, actually, here's an opportunity for me. So we got a real diverse crowd coming to workshops, and thus we were flooded with people who wanted to join the station.
It's Nadia J, and you are listening to Women at the Front, the second in a four-part series celebrating 20 years of One Extra. In this episode, we'll highlight BBC Radio 1 Extra's commitment to putting women at the front of specialist programming. We'll also look at how BBC Radio 1 Extra saluted women for their knowledge, skill, and value before the rest of the music industry caught up two decades later. My name is Nadia J, and you're listening to Women at the Front. When One Extra launched in 2002, the station assembled a talented roster of DJs, presenters, and producers. Over the years, we've heard from powerful women in front of the mic, including A-Dot, Clara Amfo, Yasmin Evans, Tiffany Calver, and more. Behind the mic, trailblazing women like Janine Kempadu, Laura Lucans, and Jay Davidson were the heartbeat of the station. Keeping in line with One Extra's desire to do things differently, Laura came up with You Takeover, where young people were given a chance to take over the One Extra airwaves.
I think the thinking behind that was that I wanted to create an opportunity for young people who needed a break, like, you know, a reset, or they needed help to get back on track. And I think it's a really difficult time when you're finishing school and you don't necessarily have it all planned out, and you don't know exactly what you want to do with your life, or even if you do know what you want to do, you don't know how to navigate that journey maybe. So You Takeover was an opportunity for, it was aimed at 16 to 24 year olds, across the UK that were classed as NEET, which is like not in education, employment or training. And it was a programme that was created to help them basically get back on track and develop a new skill set through like a 3-month, you know, radio and media training programme at BBC. So the sort of cherry on the cake was at the end of those 3 months, they got the opportunity to take over a national radio network.
Because we're taking over.
Because we take over. This is you take over, but we take over.
Programme the music and, you know, present the shows and interview the guests. And
there is no other presenters here. Me, Vince, Kai, this is the takeover session.
Create packages and drive the desk, all those things that, you know, that we do.
Charlene shares more about the support and opportunities that women were given early on at One Extra.
There were a lot of male DJs around at the time, but we were represented by a really strong group of female DJs as well. But I think more so, they were supported by incredible female producers. And I think that especially within music, male producers always tended to dominate. And what was incredible working with One Extra is I worked with such a strong, determined, intelligent, talented group of female producers who were responsible, not just on their own, but alongside a team, but were heavily responsible for incredible content. And I think that was very much reflected in the culture that we had there, as in the off-screen culture and the way that we all worked together. It was with a high level of respect. And I think because women were recognised and they were respected.
Charlene was paired up with DJ G.
David Rodigan is an international DJ, presenter and music commentator. He is also a big fan of Jam Supernova. He recalls travelling to Jamaica with Jams for One Extra Business.
I have to say, I always loved Jam Supernova. From the time she came on, I just thought she had a great radio voice. When she talked with that commitment and love and passion. You could hear it in her voice. I first met Jam Supernova when she was a producer here. She was producing Todd Lattice Show, and she came down to Jamaica with us, didn't she? So I knew her as a producer, and then bang, zam, ooh, there she was on air. And hang on, she's really good. Now she's on Six Music.
Jam Supernova is a DJ, presenter, and label owner from South London.
Hi, I'm Jam Supernova, and this is how I DJ.
Her early love of radio led her to discover One Extra by chance.
I heard about One Extra when I was in school. I started listening. I got into radio kind of, around like early, well, I always into radio, but I started like really listening to a lot of radio in my spare time from about 13. And it was when I got to about 15, I found out about One Extra because I got given a Freeview box and I was able to get the radio on the TV. So straight away I was like, oh my God, I'd listen to, I was just saying that I was listening to Choice FM before that. And then I moved to a house and I couldn't get Choice in the house. I was gutted. And then I came across One Extra through the Freeview box and I was like, no, this is real radio. Like, there was just a difference in the way that Choice made radio and the way that One Extra made radio that I was able to pick out. And to me, One Extra was...
Malvoda is a radio plugger who has been promoting music to One Extra for 20 years. She offers a different perspective about how labels used One Extra.
I think sometimes with labels, they see One Extra as a stepping stone for their artist, sometimes not in the right way. Sometimes they use One Extra as a gateway in because it's really hard, and especially if you've got pop music, sometimes there's not that many entry points into pop for radio, any media really. So you've got to try and start it from other points. And sometimes there might be an artist that have got a little bit of, you know, an R&B tone to them. So all of a sudden they start off as an R&B artist for two songs and then by the end they are straight pop. But that is the entry point for getting into the BBC at radio. And I think that that's the same for other media platforms too. So that might not necessarily be a great thing all the time, but, it, you know, One Extra are deemed important.
100% Homegrown saw the potential in artists very early on, even if they weren't fully developed.
Yeah, it's the rawness and it's the bravery to deal with something that is unpolished, but for them to recognize that it's something special, I think that takes a lot of bravery that sadly is missing in the industry these days, I think. To hear something that's completely unpolished and have a vision for it, or just have an excitement for it, I think it takes a lot for someone to be excited by something without the whole package around it. So when Raz really paid attention to what I was playing, and then I think he even said, oh yeah, I was in the car with Wiley and I played the tracks, and just the fact that these two, you know, heroes of mine were sitting listening to some raw material of just my voice was really, really exciting.
The One Extra team started a series of live shows. The live performances helped artists to be heard by larger audiences while sharpening their live performance skills.
The campaign was to make sure everybody knew, yes, this is back music, but it's for everybody.
Shawnee B talks taglines.
I've always had a funny relationship with straplines. Because as much as I know that we have a job to do, I don't know if we fully live by those straplines. Real talk. Right now, I'm a guardian of the strapline amplified black culture, because you can't have a strapline like that and you ain't doing the right thing. Because I don't want to be part of a clique that says one thing and does another thing. We can't just say these things lightly. The strapline that I've always loved, though, was Love Black Music, Love One Extra, because it said what it is on the can. And when we moved from saying black music and got rid of it, and there were bosses that were active to get rid of it, I told them, you are wrong. Because when you say you're removing the word black because some people don't know how to take it, how to absorb it. So if we remove the word black, that means that you find it difficult to look at me and be in my surroundings as a black person in life and living color if a word makes you that uncomfortable. So when we put it back in, I felt we was a little bit hypocritical, because I wanted to stand by the fact that, yo, we are this. Everybody went down this urban line and all the rest of it. Nah, I know a time where if you didn't go to your local record shops and you went into a HMV or a Half Price or something like that, there was a black music section. Keep the same energy. Not because we're winning right now. Keep the same energy.
Wilbur Wilberforce wanted to create an atmosphere at One Extra where black culture was reflected. When we go into...
The biggest legacy is that you normalise having a service dedicated to black music. It's not something that's featured once a week or pushed in 1 month, or, you know, it's something that is there, ever present, ever celebrated, ever respected. And it's the same, you know, if you think about our events as well, like One Extra Live, you know, there was one-off festivals moments. We look back on what we created, and now, you know, you see events like Wireless. That's part of our legacy. That's part of what, you know, we started, and there's a knock-on effect to that. And so I think we have to just be proud that, you know, that's now normal.
DJ Excalibur.
I think the legacy of One Extra is that UK rap and people rapping in a UK accent is now an international phenomenon. It is accepted across the world. We have J-Hus, we have Dave, we have Stormzy. You got Kano acting on Top Boy, and I think the elevation that was required for those people was that they were celebrated and held by a national radio station that didn't consign them to the hours between 8 p.m. and midnight, you know? It put them front and center.
Treble T.
In my opinion, the legacy for One Extra after 20 years is an indelible mark on the black British music culture. And I would go further than that. It's been an absolute influence, and black British music culture would not be the same if this radio station was not created. Before the station started, it was impossible to have an hour or two long radio show where all of the music was British. Impossible. We had to put it in our format that one of the shows only played British music. And over the years, gradually, it changed until you could just play British music and no one would even notice. But we definitely changed that trend. Also, this on-air mixing thing. When you listen to all these other national networks, if you hear any record mixed end to end into each other when the sun is up, that's because of us. We're the first national network to do live multi-genre mixing on your radio on a day-to-day. And then all of a sudden, other stations started doing...